Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, October 4th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics. We are on page 50, and we're at the bottom of that page in that fourth paragraph, the last sentence on that page, beginning with, "Once confused and baffled," we're going to read four sentences, finishing with, "They present a powerful reason why one should have faith." We're going to read and comment on just those four sentences this morning. Today's readers are Lisa N. reading the text, Chanel T. reading page 164, and Wendy M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Betsy H., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, October 3rd, 2024, is 21,795.
Yes. Hello, excuse me, Barbara W. is down for the 12 traditions.
Gotcha, Barbara. Thank you so much. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, October 3rd, 2024, 21795, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,802 or 21802. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service, and good morning, everyone. My name is Terry G. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful food addict, and these are the 12 steps we took. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our lives. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our prayers. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to use service today. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. I will now ask Barbara W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hello, everybody. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and happy to be amongst this whole network. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, our group purpose, there is but one unlimited authority God, loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leader are but trust service. They do not govern us. Three, the only requirement of OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to compulsive overeaters who still is suffering. Six, an OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain ever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA is such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has one opinion on outside, no opinions on outside issues. Hence, our OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11, a public-related policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritually foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of this fabulous Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 50, the fourth full paragraph, beginning right there at the bottom of the page, confused and baffled. We're reading four sentences, ending with, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. We are reading and commenting on just these four sentences this morning. And I will now ask Lisa N. to get us started and begin reading.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Lisa N., recovered compulsive overeater one day at a time by God's grace and mercy. Once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, they show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. They show how the change came over them when many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives. They present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And I'm very grateful to read several of these sentences because it really sums up what I had to do to get not only abstinent but recovered. Because abstinence is important, but as it's said over and over to us, It's that connection to the higher power that we need. And I was baffled for years. I didn't come to the program until I was in my mid-40s, and I'm going to be 63 next month. And anyway, I didn't come to the program until a long time. So I lived baffled, and the word futility of existence is a great word, because I was existing, I wasn't living. And the main reason was because I wasn't depending on a power greater than myself. I didn't know I could. I actually was depending on other people continuously, asking them what I should do. I went to psychics. Why am I fat? I kept asking other people. I wanted to have other people tell me what to do. And this program was completely different than anything I'd ever been to lose weight. And I found out that there was a power greater than me. I didn't find it out for a long time. I mean, I thought God wanted me to figure this out. But I found out after a couple of years, out of desperation, thinking I would never change, my life would never change, that the powerful reason that I should have faith in God would be that I could recover with God's help, not my own, not anybody else. And yes, I need all my fellows, don't get me wrong, but I need a power greater than myself first. And so thank you for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa N. All right, we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer. When your time is up and when you hear the timer, please finish promptly in order to give others a chance to share too. And if you could please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
McCall S. in Massachusetts.
Was that an F or an S?
S as in Sam.
S as in Sam. Gotcha. Massachusetts. Okay. Who else would like to share?
Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina.
And that was Patricia N. B.?
Patricia Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And then D. D. as in duck.
Oh, gotcha. My ears are not working well this morning, you guys. Thanks for your patience. I got you, Patricia.
Wendy M.
Okay, I've got you, Wendy. Do you have anyone else?
Vicki T. in Florida.
Who is that from Florida?
Vicki T.
I got you, Vicki. Thank you.
Janice K., Oregon.
All right, Janice, I've got you. All right. Well, I think we'll go with this first roundup. I've got McCall S., Patricia N. D., Wendy M., Vicki T., Janice K. Please remind us where you're calling from. And we're going to start with McCall, followed by Patricia. Good morning, McCall.
Good morning, McCall. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Sorry, I was playing with the muted, unmuted. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everyone, for being here. These are great, great sentences, and I'm really comforted by the big book, and thanks for the opening share. I think what really struck me this morning was, you know, I am and want to continue to be, because I can go in and out all day long. I want to be, excuse me, one of the many hundreds of people who are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of my life. It is, you know, that is where I find comfort. You know, when my disease is up, and in my head, it's telling me to look over there and look over there. And, you know, for years, it was the food. You know, the food will give me comfort. And I don't have to live like that today, but I do need to keep coming so that I can be reminded of this. You know, I have, you know, like everybody else in the world, a lot of life, and I can easily get pulled away from this most important fact. And I can, you know, I can want other people to tell me what to do, you know, whether it's about my food or whether it's about this or that. And I can, you know, thankfully get guidance from other fellows, but sitting with my higher power and, you know, praying for this conscious contact is vital. You know, I need to do that first. So I don't think I have anything else to share. Just really, really grateful to be here with all of you and to be on this path of recovery with you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Patricia N.B., followed by Wendy M. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Patricia Ann, and the confused and baffled by the seemingly futile of existence. That's how I felt. And, you know, I've gone over this before because on the side of, you know, the conscious contact with God's presence today is the most important fact. On the side of that, I have food. Food blocks me off from God's consciousness, the consciousness of his presence. But today, I don't know when I wrote that, but today I can say that I block me off from God's presence. I and my will, self-will run riot, and I will be all over the place. Squirrely, I call it squirrely. If I don't get into meetings and get into the calls and get into reading, do my deal, because, it, you know, God, I have a relationship with God, and I've had for years, but and I begged and begged and begged. It's like, God, you know I have a disease. Please take this away, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is that he has given me a program to follow and directions to follow to help me to abstain from this crazy thinking that I have to do, which is stay in contact with him, stay in contact with the meetings and the program and a design for living, which he designed. He designed this program. This isn't by accident. And I realized that as I'm doing this, my life is actually coming into shape. My life is actually taking shape. Things are happening. People show up and perform miracles for me, things that I can't do, and things that I have been praying about and needing help for, and poof, here they are, you know. And he's been doing in marvelous things as I stay in this program. It's about the program. It's not about the food. It's not about me. It's about helping others and staying connected. Anyways, thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia N.D. from North Carolina. Next, we've got Wendy N., followed by Vicki T. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Stephanie. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful to be on the line and looking at this divinely inspired book. There's so much I want to say. I love the lead share, abstinence, and really the food is just the tip of the iceberg. And I didn't know that for 14 years in the program, and that's okay too, you know, divinely inspired time. It's about a relationship with God. And a couple of things. First, they say futility of existence. Do you know how bad it feels to not know your purpose on the planet, where you're just like not being of maximum usefulness to anybody? And you know, my purpose is to be useful to other people. It feels phenomenal now, right? Because I put my hand in God, and I don't have that futility of existence. And then it says, leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. And what that says to me is, food or no food, like, let's push the food issue aside for a moment. What's your life looking like, right? And thank God my life was so unmanageable, unsatisfactory, that somehow, some way, I heard somebody on a line, I called them, asked them to be my sponsor, and did whatever they told me to do because I needed a complete and utter rearrangement. And the minute I started doing exactly what this person told me to do, and I didn't care what it was, that's when I got God. I get God when I call and tell somebody the truth about my food. I get God when I call you and tell you what I did to another human being and I owe amends. I get God when I get on my knees and say to you, this is who I am, or I need help, or I don't know. And God is thrilled. God's like, good. We're going to push Wendy aside so God can do God's magic. And I also want to say, they use the word fact, an important fact. Absolutely. I don't believe in God. I experience God constantly. That is how my life works today. God is entering my life constantly and doing for me what I cannot do for myself. God keeps saying, no, honey, I don't want you to date that guy. I don't want you to do that. Okay, God, well, I'm going to still try to do that. It doesn't matter. God does for me what I cannot do for myself. I experience God constantly. I get returned to sanity constantly. That's how I know it's a fact of my life. I can't begin to tell you what it's like when we put our hands in the hand of God. But I don't do it because I believe in God. I do it because I experience God. I experience the magic constantly. And I see what God is doing in my life at all times. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next, we've got Vicki T., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your friendly service. This is Vicki T. I am recovered in Florida. And so I'm going to change the title of the chapter just because I want to. We agnostic. For me, we believe in God, or I believe in God. Because when I first saw this chapter a million years ago, I thought that meant, well, for people that don't believe in God. And I don't need to read it because I don't believe in God. So there we go. It's simple. I'm going to do this program without that part because it's too obscure. So talk about being confused, baffled, futility, an existence. You know, there's a difference for me between existence and life. Existence is just existing, just I'm there. Life is being, like what was just shared, experiencing and being in it and developing and growing and changing. And heavy going of life, everything was a 10. Everything was an emergency. A disappointment was a tragedy. There was no level of any kind of the rungs on the ladder of emotions. You know, the biggest fear for me today is not to pick up the food. Not to say I'm cocky, but that's not so much the biggest fear. My biggest fear is my loss of my relationship with God. Not that I've lost it, but when I think about what I could lose, that is the most important thing to me, is not my diamond ring. It is this. The presence of God is the most important fact of my life. And I heard somebody on the line the other day say that for her, there's a difference between the relationship with God and faith. And that really spoke to me because I'm really good at my relationship with God. I get up an hour earlier. I spend my God time. I wish I had more time, but that's good enough for today. But sometimes I'm agnostic about certain things in my life. Oh, no, this one I can't let go of. Oh, no, you won't know what to do. Let me get in there. Let me manage and control. This is the difference of being able to see and acknowledge. For me, 6 and 7 is about, I need to be aware. God, I am this way, and only with your help can I change. I'm going to change the behavior, and then God can remove the character default. And I have comfort in God today instead of the food. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow. Perfect timing, like 1 second left on the clock, Vicki. Thank you, Vicki T. from Florida. Next, we've got Janice K. Good morning, Janice. Janice, if you could please hit star one to unmute.
All right, I did that. Thank you for the reminder. Well, and hello to you from Oregon. You know, it begins by talking about the stories. And I found a lot of wisdom and a lot of guidance in the stories, and they were very helpful on identifying in. I completely understand, you know, why the stories show why we were making such heavy going of life. Well, let's see, let me count the ways. There's self-reliance. There's the fact, you know, I don't remember a time in my life when I wasn't a food addict. Maybe there was one. I don't remember it. And then it says, leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. Wow. When you're the addict, how do you lay aside the addiction? They might. I can't. How did the change overcome me? I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got a very bad medical diagnosis. I came home and I asked for help. Now, they talk about, they don't say it in this chapter, but what they're describing is the scientific method. The scientific method begins with a hypothesis, a question. The question here is, can spirituality help the addict break free? The answer is, and at this date, there are probably hundreds of thousands of people who are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their life. They represent a powerful reason for why one should have faith. Everyone who has recovered or is recovering is an argument on the side of spirituality can help addicts. And I think that's basically what I wanted to say on this. Oh, it talks about visual proof. Our recovered members are visual proof. We have visual proof. So, the alcoholics have it too. They just have to work a little harder at getting it on display. Okay, thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Janice K. Gosh, everyone's finishing right on the 3-minute mark. Thank you so much. Well, before we get another lineup, let me fill you in on where we are if you're just joining us. We're on the bottom of page 50. In that bottom paragraph, in the last sentence, beginning with, once confused and baffled, reading four sentences, finishing up with, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And we read and just were commenting on those four sentences this morning. If you'd like to share, please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
This is Diane, MC in Chicago.
I've got you, Diane, and that was M as in Mary, MC?
Yes.
Perfect. Gotcha. Thank you.
Sherry HM in Washington.
I've got you, Sherry. would like to share. Well, why don't we go with these two, and hopefully more people will want to share afterwards. I've got Diane MC followed by Sherry HM. And good morning, Diane. You're up.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, everyone. This is Diane MC in Chicago, and I'd like to comment on that consciousness of the presence of God, which today is the most important fact of my life. I came in the program wanting that. I'd been striving for it, not realizing what was blocking it was my addiction. And, you know, when you're on the throne of your own life, then there's not much room for other people or God. And that made life pretty unsatisfactory, to say the least. So when I think of consciousness, I think of awareness, and that today is a desire of mine, just keep it growing, that I can become more and more aware of God working in my life. And so a few years ago, I added something to my nightly review on page 86, and I asked myself, where have I noticed God today? And that has helped build that muscle, so to speak, because I know every day I'm going to be asking myself that question. So it's made me look throughout the day. Oh, here's God working, you know, at the moment. You know, I think about it throughout the day. Something that I'll be talking about to myself in the evening. Remember this, remember that. So that has helped me a lot, because that awareness just doesn't happen. I have to work at it, and I, you know, I am now seeking God more, just looking, and becoming more aware. My higher power is working all the time, but may not be aware of it. And it does present a powerful reason why one should have faith. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Diane NC from. Next, we've got Sherry HM. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry HM from Washington State, gratefully recovered. It's Sherry with a C. Oh, this is such a great reminder. I came into the program thinking, oh, help me with the food. Okay, I got to get this food thing. What's the food plan? You know, and that, you know, I want to lose weight and look great and all this. And really, it's a bait and switch, because I can't find meaning in just, you know, chasing things, chasing achievements. This talks about that. You know, that's so empty. So I kept achieving more things, and with, you know, different degrees and writing a book, being on the radio, this and that. And then it could be so hollow because, you know, where am I without my higher power and who might call God? So really it's about how can I best serve these? So we come in here, at least I did. You know, okay, the weight, come on, give me the food plan, come on. And it's about the steps that lead us into a wonderful relationship with God. And it's just so beautiful because it's really not about me, it's about serving. Thee is what, you know, like the third step talks about, even though I don't use that language in, you know, my everyday, you know, 11th step, I do that in the mornings and all throughout the day. But that's what it's about. It's about service. Otherwise, I'm going to die suicide by fork. And the book says on page 45, I think it is, that the main, you know, the main purpose of the book is to find a power that can solve my problem. And in the other parts of the book, it says, that can solve all my problems. So I'm so grateful for, you know, 10 years of not white knuckling it, but like, I don't want the food. Every once in a while, if I get, you know, something thinking about food, then I know that I'm on the stinking thinking channel, you know, something's eating at me. What the heck is eating at me? I have to find that out and turn it over to God and also call my fellows, you know, and be of service. So anyway, if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can never do that, you're so right, because it's your higher power that's going to do it for you. So I don't miss it, and I'm so grateful, and can keep working the steps. Okay, thanks, and that's all I got. Have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington State. Well, we got time, so who would like to share? Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. We'd love to hear what you have to say about those four sentences.
Jody E.
To Jody. Who else? You haven't shared in a few days, or if you've never shared, this is such a great time. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Well, Jody, Vanessa. Why don't you go ahead? Ooh, who is that?
That was Vanessa. Vanessa G.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you. And where are you calling from, Vanessa?
New Mexico.
That's right, New Mexico. I've got you. Anyone else real quick?
Shelly from Minnesota.
Hi, Shelly. What's your last initial?
B as in boy.
All right, gotcha. Okay, let's try this. I've got Jody E, followed by Vanessa G, followed by Shelly B. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Stephanie and everyone. Jody E, gratefully recovered in California. Oh, thank you all for your beautiful shares from the beginning till the last one, all very beautiful. I'm just always conscious of those of you out there who might be atheists and might bristle at the word God. So I always try to think, well, what can I say that might reach them? You know, the presence of God, what I've heard this morning is that it's, I don't have to believe in God so much as I need to experience God. And if I have an open mind and I'm willing and I'm honest and I work these steps to the best of my ability, we're here to tell you that you will experience what we're calling God. You don't have to call it God. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But we experience something. We experience, of course, the grace of abstinence, first and foremost. But we also notice other things. Serendipities, synchronicities, blessings, changes, promises. The promises, of which we have many, they come true. What is that? You know, what is it that this psychic change that we have, what makes that possible? You can call it God or not. You can call it something else. But don't miss it. Don't miss out on this transformation, because your mind is shut to this idea of God or this word. Give it a try. What have you got to lose? And see what happens. And you may come to believe something. It might not be conventional. It might be something totally unique, and that's okay. And we welcome that. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Next, we've got Vanessa G., followed by Shelley B. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie? Thank you so much for taking the meeting. This is Vanessa G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Gosh, I don't know if I can add much to that last year. It was so much what I believed. I mean, you know, this was probably one of the most important things that I had to get into my head was the fact that this higher power that you guys were all talking about, most of you call it God, that it was an experience. It wasn't something that you were going to explain to me, something that you were going to tell me that I needed to believe in. You weren't going to describe it to me. You were going to show me how it worked in your life and how you got there. It's the biggest experiment that I've ever conducted. It was something that I just blindly followed in, you know, the footsteps of the people in front of me, because they showed me that they had something. They had a solution, not just to my food problem, but they had a solution to my living problem. It's amazing to me the things that I have experienced as a result of walking through those 12 steps. And if you're new, you don't have to take anything from me or from anyone else on this line except for the idea that if you give it a try, something miraculous may happen. Run the experiment. See what happens. Stick with us. You can hear it in the voices, or I can hear it anyway, in the voices of the people on this line, the passion, the release, the joy of living. You know, not our lives aren't perfect, or maybe not all that different from when we came in, but our attitude, the things that we've experienced, our outlook on life, completely transformed. It is an amazing thing that happens as a result of taking these steps. And the promise of the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, is there for anyone and everyone. I'm so actually very grateful that I came to this program pretty empty, without a real firm idea of, you know, what higher power or God was, because it gave me the ability to really experience, to really find something that worked for me. And I hope you find it too. I really invite you to just stick with us, go through these steps, and run this experiment. Thank you so much for letting me share this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Perfect timing. Next, we have Shelley B. Good morning, Shelley.
I'm Shelley B. from Minnesota, compulsive overeater. I've been thinking about the Holy Spirit lately. I do listen to some radio stations, Christian, and they were discussing how most Christians, if it's all of them, don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. And that's where he is helping me. I have a new volunteer job at a place called Peace House. And homeless people go there. They live on the streets and shelters. And they've been through hell, a lot of them, maybe all of them, more than me, I think. That doesn't matter how much hell. They're going there for comfort, food, to get away from the elements. And I'm trying my darndest to let the Holy Spirit work through me. Not talk about the Holy Spirit there to people. I mean, at least not yet. I want to have a group there and listen. That's the main thing I'm supposed to be doing. The promptings, go through my fears. I know God's on the other side, like I heard on the radio. We have to do the rowing. He does the steering. The higher power, God, for me. God is it. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Shelly B. from Minnesota. And we have time for one more share. Who would like to close us out?
Laura W. from New Jersey.
Laura W., I got you. Go for it. Good morning.
Thanks, Stephanie. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. And I live in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, I'm so grateful to be reminded that the most important thing in my life today is my relationship with God, my higher power. It's not staying abstinent. I mean, absolutely, I have to. It's not writing a gratitude list. It's not doing the tools and making 3 phone calls a day. It's my relationship with God. And I'm going to share that for the last week and 2 days, I've been driving back and forth to a hospital to visit my 17-year-old daughter who has anorexia and who was hospitalized because I called 911 because she would not agree to go get help. And to see this disease manifesting in somebody that I love, that I had myself, and I still have my eating disorder, I just don't suffer from it anymore, is very, it's very powerful. I've been trying to lean into God for over a week now, you know, way more than I ever did. And I thought that I had a good relationship with God. And I'm struggling right now with that relationship. I'm struggling with, you know, his help. You know, I'm asking for his help. I've been asking for his help for 4 years. And here we are again for our 4th hospital visit. And so my goal today is to stay connected to God and to realize that it's a relationship with him that I need to maintain and develop. You can't have a relationship with somebody and not spend time with them. You can't have a relationship with somebody and not love them. You can't have a relationship with somebody and not, you know, do things with them every single day. And that's what God is to me. And that is what my commitment is. And my abstinence is unshakable today because I have God in my life. And I know he will bring us as a family where we need to be. I trust that. You know, it's just hard sometimes when you're going through tough stuff to surrender that. So I'm grateful that I'm here today and I'm taking the time to connect with everybody and taking the time to just lean in. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey, and send in prayers for you and your daughter. All right, we're at the end, my friends. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Chanel P., can you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. This is Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.